Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Mr. of Cross College Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, South Carolina, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 29, 2017, or this evening, 4/2021, we will start our first service today with a song entitled, How Great Thou Art. Gloria Maya, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds I have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe display. This sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, and how great Thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that Yahweh's Son was sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. But on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Yahshua shall come with the shout of acclamation and take me home, for joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my Yah, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. On again, number 6, 13 symbolic code number 11. We're going, and it looked like number 11 and 12 were together here. We're going to start with number 11. It's questions answered on the Sabbath observance. Okay, it says, is the Sabbath on Sunday, or is it on Saturday? Okay, fasten your seatbelt, Gentiles and Sabbath keepers. This is for both of us, both of these groups of people. Not only Sabbath keepers, but feast keepers, which are the same thing. They're Sabbath days. And let's start with the page 3 here on this track. It says, I wish that's still another truth seeker. You could help me see for sure from the scriptures that the Sabbath falls on Saturday and that Christians are required to keep it instead of Sunday. Every Bible student knows that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath, that it alone is holy and commemorative of Yahweh's creation, Genesis 2:3. Then, too, the whole civilized world knows that Sunday is the first day of the week, and not a few know that it was originally a pagan festival day in the honor of the mythical god of the sun. The fact thus follows that the day preceding it, Saturday, is the seventh day, the holy Sabbath of the creation. Besides, every honest Bible student knows that the Bible neither in the Old nor in the New Testament teaches any Sabbath other than the seventh day Sabbath. Let's also be remembered that the only part of the Bible that Yahweh ever wrote with his own fingers is the Ten Commandment Law, of which the Sabbath is a part. Exodus 31:18. In fact, he himself not only personally wrote the Decalogue, but also personally came down to deliver it unto mankind amid the most awful, awesome, and solemn demonstration of all time. See Exodus 19:20. Think of it. Yahweh in the person descended to the top of the Mount Sinai, spoke the 10 precepts of the law, and added no more, Deuteronomy 5:22. Who can, with eyes and ears open, wholeheartedly turn away from this strictly heavenly thunder and fire attested, stone-preserved truth of the Scripture? Surely you will most seriously consider under what purpose and worth are you making for yourself the Yahweh's special and most celebrated commemorative visitation, solemnizing the giving of his 10 heaven-born precepts of the justice and peace and happiness for all mankind. The world's oldest yet greatest of all documents. What a mad folly, indeed, that would do away with it. Has it ever occurred unto you that to disregard his own personal handiwork in the Scriptures has manifested 1,000 times more than to disregard all the work that was done by the hands of all the prophets and all the apostles, any one of them, that the devil is working with such hatred and such wrath against it? In this day of the increased knowledge, all this adds up to the stark reality that to attempt to set up another day for the Sabbath is in itself supreme idolatry, blasphemy, and contempt directly against the Holy Spirit himself. Let's read that again. In this day of the increased knowledge, all this adds up to the stark reality that to attempt to set up another day for the Sabbath is in itself supreme idolatry, blasphemy, and contempt directly against the Most Holy himself. Okay, let's continue now. In view of these awful considerations of the truth, no better off are those who declare the Sabbath to be for the Jews only. They seem utterly to scorn the simple fact that there was no Jew when Yahweh created and himself set the example of the Sabbath keeping. The Savior, too, declared that the Sabbath is made for man, Mark 2:27, not merely for the Jew, but for all mankind. Furthermore, just as Yahweh commanded the Jew to keep the Sabbath holy, so he likewise commanded the Gentile sin. Thus saith Yahweh, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger, the Gentile, that hath joined himself unto the Yahweh speak, saying, Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch Gentile say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith Yahweh unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath. There's that S on that Sabbath. That means all the holy days. We got a double Sabbath coming up this coming weekend. The seventh day Sabbath, which will be on the 3rd of June. And Pentecost, the following day on a Sunday, which will be on the 4th of June. So we have two holy days right together. They're called Sabbath days. One's called the Seventh-day Sabbath, the other one's called the Pentecost Sabbath. Okay, and then you have New Moon Sabbath, then you have Feast of Tabernacles Sabbath, you have Solemn Assembly of Sabbath, you have Atonement Sabbath, you got the Feast of Tabernacles Sabbath. Okay. Okay, it says, and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger Gentile that join themselves in Yahweh to serve him, and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servant, every one, Jew or Gentile, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, taketh hold of my covenant, even them that I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Jew and Gentile, and for all races of people. The Yahweh Elohim, which gathered the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others unto him, besides those that are gathered unto him. So he's going to gather others unto the 144,000. It says, and yet he's going to gather others outside of him. So, he says, in other words, there are going to be three gatherings here. You're going to have the first fruits, 144,000, you're going to have the second fruit. Then he says, and you know, right, where's the type? It says, daily such as should be saved. Comes after that. Okay. And if it must still be argued that the Sabbath is only for the Jews, then so much the more that it must also be for the Christians, because a born again, John 3:3, Gentile is no longer a Gentile. Now did you get that? Once a Gentile becomes born again, he's no longer a Gentile. Now isn't that amazing how you could, a leopard can't change his spots. Okay, but a Gentile can change his identity. Okay. By just becoming born again. Okay. For if ye be Yahshua's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So let's read that again. He says, and if it must be argued that the Sabbath is only for the Jews, then so much the more that it must also be for the Christian, because he's born again, John 3:3, Gentile is no longer a Gentile, for his second verse says the Scripture has caused him to become a Jew. For if ye be your sons, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So in other words, if a Gentile comes and accepts Yahshua and says, I believe in you, then he automatically gets transferred to Abraham's seed. And if you're transferred to Abraham's seed, then you take on a new identity as a Jew of the house of Israel. And heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:28-29. Having thus been cut off from the wild Gentile olive tree, and having thus been grafted to the good Jewish olive tree, such a one has become a member of the Jewish eternal family tree, says Romans 11:24. And Yahshua reaffirms that salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. And that unto him, Judah, shall the gathering of the people be, Genesis 49:10. So we're Judah, we're the house of Judah, and we're the ones that Yahshua has set up here with us in charge, and he is presiding over this house of Judah. And so, of course, he's the king sent upon the throne of David, and he is the one in charge of this house. Okay? So it is that the kingdom of Yahshua is made up of the spirit-born Jews only. Okay, so now when a Gentile comes and declares himself and he wants to be joined the house of the Jew, then he do like Nicodemus did. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He came to Yahshua, which Yahshua was a Jew. Now here's another good one. They called the Pharisees Jews, but were they? They weren't born again. So what were the Pharisees then? They might have been descendants of the Hebrew twelve tribes. But what were they called again? What were they called? If they're not born again, what are they called? Well, number one, they're called heathen. Number two, the best they can be called is a Gentile. And this is who was in charge of the temple worship there in Yahshua's day. Okay? It says, even the name of the eternal capital city, New Jerusalem, Revelation 21:2, is compounded of the words Jew, J-E-W, hyphen R-A-I-R-I-S-A-L-E-M, Jerusalem. Okay. It too, therefore, loudly declares that Yahshua's kingdom is a kingdom made up for and of the spiritual Jews only. Alright, it says, moreover, the founders of the Christian church were all Jews by blood. In other words, those that were the founders of the apostolic congregations, all Jews by blood. And when you say Jews, you're talking about of the house of Judah. Otherwise, they wouldn't be called Jews. Unless they were all of the one tribe of Judah. That's the only way you get that identity as a Jew. Okay? And we're all Jews by blood. And the thousands of converts that were added into the congregation on and after the Pentecost, we got a Pentecost coming up Sunday. During the first 3.5 years, we're also all full-blooded Jews. But as they no longer call themselves Jews, but Christians instead, Acts 11:26, they all lost their national identity. So they and also their brethren, the kingdoms of the Judah and Israel, who were dispersed throughout the world, were, with the exception of a few Jews, assimilated by the nation, and thus down through the century, all lost their national and racial identity. Exodus 3:5. Okay, so now I'm learning something new here, folks. All these Jews that lost their racial identity from the religion of which tribe that they were from, if they come along today and accept Yahshua the Messiah, then they are found again. This is finding the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those that come and accept the Messiah. Scripture I just gave earlier, I said Exodus 11:26, and it's Acts 11:26. Okay. So they, and also their brethren, the kingdoms of the Judah and Israel. So it says the kingdoms of the Judah and Israel. So Israel is represented by the 10 tribes up north, who were dispersed throughout the world, were, with the exception of a few Jews, assimilated by the nation, and thus down through the centuries, all lost their national and racial identity, Hosea 3:5. This being so, no Christian and no so-called Gentile really knows for sure whether he is a descendant of the Hebrew tree or of the Gentile tree. Yahweh only knows. Though we are plainly told that the 144,000 dollar servants of Yahweh, the first fruits, are made up of the 12 tribes of Israel. First Jacob, Isaac, after the flesh, and second born of the Spirit, Revelation 7:4-8. And that the innumerable great multitude, the second fruits, are made up of all nations, Revelation 7:9. First of both Gentiles and Jews born after the flesh, and second born after spirit, yet Yahweh can and will identify them all. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me, says the Yahweh. So he's going to make mention of these here, Rahab and Babylon, unto those, he says, unto them that know me. So he's going to make mention of them unto, in other words, unto the congregation of David today. And the congregation of David today is the only congregation that knows the Messiah. Unfortunately, those three feeding pastors that have gone on before, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, they didn't come to fruition and maturity and purification. They didn't get enough biblical knowledge and restoration of the sanctuary to be able to know how to stay righteous 100%. They didn't know how to choose between good and evil all the time. That was proven out in Gilead Center. Okay. So I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me, it says the Yahweh, Yahshua. Behold, Philistia, and Tara with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the house himself shall establish her. Psalms 87:4-5. Thus it is that all through the prophecies which point to this day and age, Yahweh addresses the congregation of the Israel, not as Christian or as Gentile, but as Judah, Israel, Zion, Jerusalem, and so on. Furthermore, all the covenants and all the promises are made unto the descendants of Jacob. Aside from our privilege to join the Jews, the congregation, there is not one promise made unto the Gentiles. When a Gentile therefore accepts the Yahshua and joins his congregation, he then becomes a Jew. There it is right there. Comes a Jew. And thus subject to share in the promises unto the Jews and to keep the Jewish Sabbath if we must call it such. Ye who want to be in the Yahshua's kingdom, whether you be Jew or Gentile in the flesh, had better know now become full-fledged Jews in the spirit by accepting not only Yahshua but also his holy Sabbath. Otherwise, you shall certainly find yourselves outside the city, Yahweh forbid, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, Revelation 22:15, all the unrepentant lawbreakers since the days of Cain. It will be heartbreaking and so terrifying to find yourselves in a crowd that is doomed to suffer the second death, the eternal death. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 24:51. As we have now actually come to the time in which the Seventh-day Adventist congregation is to be purified and unified, well, that was a present truth message back then, back there in the 1930s, and it's a present truth message today as well. It has always been a present truth message because it is always calling for the Adventists to come and be purified. Starting in 1888 to 1890, Jones and Wagner, righteous by faith, come and be united on the present truth and be purified and unified. All right. The tares taken out of it had burned up, burned up, for the house of Yahweh made white and clean, no unrepentant sinner left in it. Yahweh beforehand makes it known unto his people. Surely, Yahweh Elohim will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants the prophets. Amos 3:7. This is the very reason for which this and other companion publications are now announcing that the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the judgment, cleansing of the temple of Yahweh, Malachi 3:2-3, and 1 Peter 4:17, is at hand, all of them crying out loud throughout Laodicea saying, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye into the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, present truth, parenthesis, without money and without price. Okay. That's all Yahweh's ever asked people to do, is just come and accept present truth. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, not inspired by the Spirit of Yahweh, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, unto inspiration, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Isaiah 55:1-2. Your soul, rather than your bones or flesh, denotes that the food that is offered free of the charge is spiritual, not physical. For the only literature of the revealed truth ever given away, given without money and without price by the millions of the copies world over, is the rod literature. Send your name for our mailing list. How ye, for the day of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua is at hand. He shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. The Almighty is the Father. Isaiah 13:6. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, the ministry, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3:2-3. For the scripture implies that their offering, labor, heretofore has not been in righteousness, but that after cleansing it will be in righteousness. For there shall be no more any vain vision, false uninspired, nor flattering divination, no bragging of the spiritual achievement within the house of the Israel, for I am the Yes Yahweh, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Yahweh Elohim, Ezekiel 12, 23 and 25. Let us now understandingly listen unto Yahweh's voice as he presently pleads through the Isaiah's long concealed prophecies that are now unsealed for the first time and for our special good, saying, Awake, awake, put on thy strength, faith in the word of Yahweh, O Zion. For the rulers of the denominations put on the beautiful garment, O Jerusalem. The under-rulers, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. For the sinner be put away forever. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, on thy Elohim-given throne. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Isaiah 52, 1 and 2. The unrighteous shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners, the uncircumcised and the unclean in the congregation of the righteous. Psalms 1, 5. And it shall come to pass that he that is left, the remnant after the sinners are cut off from among his people, in that day of the cleansing judgment, Leviticus 23:29, in Zion, and he that remaineth, the remnant, derived by the cleansing in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Thus shall it be when the Yahshua shall have washed away, cleansed the filth of the daughters of Zion, the Christian church, the mother of which was the ancient Jewish. I'll just say it again. The filth of the daughters of Zion, the Seventh-day Adventist church, as the mother of which was the ancient Jewish church, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of the judgment and by the spirit of the burning, and later and after this purification takes place, then it is that the Yeshua will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the sun of a flaming fire by the night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm, and from the rain. Isaiah 4:3-6. Brethren, you cannot afford to miss this future glory. Now, at the 11th hour, the judgment hour. Brethren, you cannot afford to miss this future glory, not at the 11th hour. The judgment hour. Now, this is right here in V.T. Hollis' own handwriting. He calls the 11th hour, he calls the last hour, the judgment hour. And you wonder why all of the Adventists fail from V.T. Holophone from 1930 on. All the Adventist leaders fail to deliver at the correct time and the right hour. Beat the hottest fan wearing the last hour. And he was in the 10th parabolic hour, and he's saying, we're in the 11th and the last hour. And that 11th hour began in 1970. That's when I joined Brother Johnson in 1970 to begin this 11th hour. 11th hour ended in 2003, technically, and that was the beginning of the 12th hour that we're in now. And as those who are trying to make the world believe that Yeshua nailed the Ten Commandments to the cross of Calvary, they are either dishonest in what they say or else are ignorant of what the scriptures teach. The Bible teaches that the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good, Romans 7:12. That sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. That the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and that men ought to repent of sinning, repent of breaking the law, that Yahshua by his still blood might pay the penalty of their having sinned against the law and thus make them free from the law. Since the fundamental aim of Yahshua is to and impel men to repent of sinning, of breaking the law, thereby to lift them to the divine level of morality and keep them free from sinning, it is as absurd as it is blasphemous to conclude that he could even breathe the thought of ever abrogating the law. In fact, had Yahshua destroyed the law, then from that moment onward, there could never have been any more sin, and therefore never anything more to be forgiven of, and hence never need of him anymore, if this be so. Then what a supremely wicked book, the Bible, and what a supremely cruel being, Yahweh, and by contrast, what a hero, Satan. Oh, the foolishness of men, blasphemy. Truly, therefore one would have to be another dolt, indeed, not to see that automation, in its every and its least expression, is the most dread of dragon doctrine, and that it comes from the carnal mind, for the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be, Romans 8:7. Since in both Old and New Testaments, the Bible still forbids, number one, having other gods, number two, making images and bowing to them, number three, taking Yahweh's name in vain. Number four, still demands children have respect for their parents. Number five, still condemns killing. Number six, committing adultery. Number seven, stealing. Number eight, lying. And since finally it still makes positive that number ten, to break one of the commandments is to break all of them, James 2:10. The conclusion is therefore sure and inescapable that all the Ten Commandments of the law are still in force, and that the Bible still demands our keeping them. Who then could have done away with the law? Certainly not the Yahweh, nor the prophets, and not the apostles, for they all kept and taught the Ten Commandment law, and all laid special emphasis on its immutability and therefore irrevocable validity. Then what dragon talks to say the moral law is done away? Who indeed could honestly look himself in the face while denying that all to man devising are but rationalizing means for dodging Sabbath observance. Of this, be assured, never will heaven do away with the law which condemns sinning. Only the foolish, the lawless, the crooked, the sin-loving think it out of the way, but just let them be caught stealing or killing, and they will speedily find out then if they do, not now, that the law is still very much in force upon all, be they Jews or Gentiles, professors of religion or professors of atheism. No wonder that these law-hating religionists, the so-called Christians of this day, have no better reputation in society and no better credit in the business world than to be the non-Christian. Do the non-Christian. Wonder is that they have any standing at all. What a pity their plight, and what a tragic awaiting will one day be theirs. Let everyone know once and for all that the only law that the Yahweh did do away with is the law of the sacrificial ordinances, Ephesians 2:15, Colossians 2:14, Hebrews 7:18-25. And he removed the law of sacrifices only because it, the shadow of the type, met the, its substance and its antitype in the Yahshua sacrifice of himself for penitent sinners, and in his heavenly ministration for them all in the vicarious atonement for their sins and the payment of the death penalty which the moral law imposed upon them for their having broken it. Thus the typical sanctuary for the ceremonial service was, in effect, transferred to the antitypical sanctuary in heaven, where Yahshua, our everlasting high priest, is now officiating, offering his own blood in our behalf. Offering his own blood in our behalf. Hence, the typical sacrificial law is the only law that was ever removed from the earth. In Paul's time, as now, there were troublemakers over the law. Especially troublesome were those who held to the rite of circumcision. They had succeeded in confusing some of the Galatians, whereupon Paul wrote to the latter as follows: O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yahshua Messiah hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learned of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith the Yahshua hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Yahshua shall profit you nothing. How would they were even cut off which trouble you? Galatians 3:1-3, 5:1-2:12. But the Apostle Paul, you readily note, is against the law of the circumcision, the ceremonial law, not the moral law. That in the foregoing words of the Apostle, it is in no wise teaching the abrogation of the Ten Commandment law, is made evident by his words in the following verses. Note the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Galatians 5:19-21. For not the hearers of the law, or the Ten Commandment law, are just for Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Romans 2:13. Then Paul goes on to explain that no one is actually justified by keeping of the law, the Decalogue, that means the Ten Commandments, but that it points out the sinner's transgression, pronounces his doom, then sends him condemned to Yahshua, his Savior, who alone through the merits of his atoning blood he shed in behalf of all sinners can forgive him, justify him, then go on to sanctify him. Thus the apostle writes. See here, because B.T. Hollis didn't believe in no more than just the Ten Commandments, he called that the whole law, James 2:10. Yet Moses called the whole law, the law that's written in a book, put in the side part of the ark, that was the addition to the Ten Commandment law. And this is the law of B.T. Hollis talking about here, when you go to Yahshua, his Savior, who alone through the merits of his atoning blood, which he shed in behalf of all sinners, can forgive him, justify him, and go on to sanctify him. That's if you're obedient to all the holy days and the daily and so forth. And he can do that for you. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but by the law of the knowledge of sin. Not the forgiveness of it, but now the righteousness of Yahweh without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh, which is by the faith in the blood of Yahshua unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Yahshua Messiah. He would then make void the law through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. Yahweh the Father forbid, yea, we establish the law. Romans 3:20, 24, and 31. So when you culminate it by keeping all of the holy days instead of just the 7-day Sabbath, and keeping all of the law instead of just the law of the Ten Commandments, which has no forgiveness and no blood in it, in case you do sin. Okay. The reason that Paul readers not infrequently encounter difficulty, it says the reason that Paul readers not inferentially encounter difficulty in the understanding his epistles is that they read them as books instead of as letters. Well, I don't understand V.T. Hollis' thought structure there. But anyway, let's go ahead. Hence, all who would understand them now will keep in view the fact that he wrote them to groups with whom he had previous acquaintance and correspondence, of whose troubles and queries he had previous knowledge. It is in that vein that he wrote to them, so he knew what to say to them, and they well understood what he meant. Consequently, if we are to understand his letters, we must first become conversant with the condition which called forth the letters. To do this, one must, by studying each letter, endeavor to find out what were the recipient's problems that he had tried to solve. Otherwise, there can only follow confusion as to what Paul is talking about. Read them in this fashion, and you will discover that they are not so difficult to understand as they seem to be. And let none deceive you with their gross self-interest, their vain words, their fair speeches, and crooked interpretation. By grace through the faith
Ephesians 2:8. Keep the truth sanctified in your heart, and it will wash you in the blood of Yahshua. Cleanse you and keep you clean, and clothe upon you the robe of his righteousness. His glorious character, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. Okay, if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior, Yahshua. 2 Peter 1:10 and 11. No one who abides in the love of Yahshua will ever turn a deaf ear to his word, whether revealed through himself, through his apostles, or through his prophets. Such a one cannot possibly lose out, for should he, after being born again, stumble into sin, now deliberately walk into it, then he has Yahshua's Messiah, his advocate, in heaven to plead his case, atone for his sin, and cleanse him from the guilt of it forever. 1 John 2:1-9. That is, if he keeps all of the sanctuary instead of just the Ten Commandments alone, which has no power to save. All the Ten Commandments does is condemn. But the laws of the sanctuary, which you find in Leviticus 23, the whole law, following all of the feast days and the ordained system of true worship every day. According to the salvation of the faithful today, as in all ages, has been eternally secured by the Yahshua sacrifice of himself for all. In payment of the penalty of death upon all for the transgression of the law of Yahweh, there's so great salvation did he secure, not by making the law valid for one age and void for another, Yahweh forbid. He secured it by the atoning blood of Yahshua for the penitent sinners of all ages. By grace through the faith in the blood of Yahshua and the wondrous efficacy of that blood, every penitent pardoned soul is eternally freed from the condemnation of the broken law. Oh, amazing mercy that leaves no mortal a chance for losing out if he wants to win. Also, seriously, consider that wicked discrimination. What wicked discrimination, what destructive confusion, what dreadful injustice, what kind of a Yahweh do most Christians serve? Is it not the Yahweh of the lawlessness for him to charge the Yahweh of the love and justice to have demanded from his chosen people perfect obedience unto his law, and to have commanded Gentiles entire disobedience unto it? Let's read that again. Also seriously consider, what the wicked discrimination, what destructive confusion, what dreadful injustice, what kind of a God do most Christians serve? Is it not the God of lawlessness, that's Satan, for him to charge the Yahweh of the love and justice to have demanded from his chosen people perfect obedience unto his law, and to have commanded the Gentiles entire disobedience unto him? The Yahweh of the law and order in heaven and earth counsels us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Exodus 20:8, and also to remember the law which he commanded unto Moses and Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment, Malachi 4:4. The law of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:1-17, for the interpretation of it, see chapters 21-23. Inspiration also declares that by the law is the knowledge of sin, Romans 3:20, that sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4, that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. If there is no law, then there is no sin, and there should be no death, and therefore no need for either the Bible or a Savior. Remember, too, that when the rich young ruler asked what he must do to have eternal life, Yeshua's answer was, keep the commandments, and his answer today is the same. See Revelation 22:14. When the ruler inquired which commandment he should keep, Yeshua plainly told him, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Matthew 19:18-19. Here you see that the moral law and the commandment are synonymous. Think not, he declared, that I am come to destroy or to put away the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill the prophecies concerning me and my work. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, and they still stand, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, he shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire, Matthew 5:17-19, 21-22. Whereas the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahweh, Isaiah 6:22-23. So Vitti Hollow, he does bring in the new moon, which is a holy Sabbath day. It comes once a month. Starts the first day of each month. The prophets, the Old Testament includes Yahshua, the New Testament positively magnify and perpetuates the Ten Commandment law, rather than do away with it. The Sabbath is to be kept, they declare, even in the new earth. The whole law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good, Romans 7:12. David is in rapt inspiration too, declares the law is the truth. All thy commandments are the truth, Psalms 119:142-151. And Paul concludes, we know that the law is spiritual, Romans 7:14. Hence James, all comprehensive conclusion, whosoever shall keep the whole law, That's again, James 2:10, that whole law is found written in Leviticus 23, 44 verses there, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Thou believest that there is one Yahweh, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, James 2:10-19. The unrepentant lawbreakers, either devils or humans, are lost forever. It is right there that be devils or humans. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh the law. Revelation 22:14-15. This brings into verse 30, this is our contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message, and more. We're going to close now with a song. To Yahweh be the glory.
To Yah be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for
for sin and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yeshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of Yah. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Yahshua the pardon receives. Praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and greater rejoicing to Yahshua the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be a wonder or transport when Yahshua we see. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the earth hear His voice. Praise Yah, praise Yah, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Yahshua the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.